Welcome back to Good Food. All culinary stars are people. People with families and memories, people who started cooking maybe when they were young, maybe not so young, but they're people for whom cooking became an emotional language they needed to share. A lot has been written about Asma Khan, the Indian-born British chef and restaurateur who was profiled along with her London restaurant, Darjeeling Express, on season 6 of Chef's Table. Her commitment to training immigrant women who form the backbone of her all-female kitchen team started with her relationship to her mother. Her latest book is a salute to her, Amu. Hi, Asma.
Hello.
It's wonderful to have you here. Talk to us a little about your mom. For context, give us what year she was born.
She was born in 1943, before India got independent. And she saw the country transforming. But for her life remained pretty traditional. She was, you know, in a very conservative family. She never went to college. She got married very young. She had my sister when she was 18. And she was a grandmother at 32. Pretty much how, you know, things have happened for generations in my family.
Tell us a bit about your dad also.
My dad, a very interesting character. He, passionate reader of poetry and very Sufi in his philosophy and an engineer by training. Very different from my mother, from a very different region of India, a wheat growing region. He still finds looking at a fish eye really terrifying because that's a landlocked area where he grew up. A man of very simple food tastes, but very, very deeply spiritual and great fun to talk to. A real character. I think my real education has been having conversations with my father.
The images in this book are absolutely beautiful, not just objectively beautiful to the eye, like beautifully photographed, but they're so chosen with memory and emotion in mind. You talk about the jewelry box that your mother gave you when you left the house to marry, and you say that this latest cookbook, Amu, is like that jewelry box. How so?
Actually, it was all this imagery that came out in the darkness of pandemic and lockdown, and I had this jewelry box in front of me, and it's then when I realized that we are given this very physical gift of ancestral vintage jewelry in my family. I come from a royal family, so for us, some of the jewelry is very old and very, very precious. It's given to us in this box as a goodbye gift to you as you leave the doorstep of your house. But then I realized that actually what I'm taking away is these food memories, are the aromas of my kitchen, the sound of my mother cooking and laughing, the songs that she would listen to, and all those gatherings of the clan to celebrate weddings, all those recipes are there in my book. And that box, which had the jewelry, is actually a box full of recipes.
You talk a lot about the monsoon season. Why do you associate so much childhood comfort food with monsoons?
You need to experience the monsoon in Bengal. The rain is relentless, but that comes after months of parched heat where the ground is cracked up and everything is dry, bone dry. So when the rains come, the first monsoon, my father would grab us all. My mother used to be shrieking, telling her not, and he used to take us out and we used to just stand and watch the rain and get soaked through and through. And that fragrance of the earth, there's no flower, there's no perfume, there's nothing that can describe that sweet smell of the earth when it starts getting soaked. And then all the birds are dancing. And in my father's home, when it used to rain, the peacocks would come out and they used to stand out of the trees and dance. That kind of joy when you feel the earth taking a deep breath, it's a real emotion.
So give us a dish that just brings you back to those memories.
The pakoras are the two. I mean, the onion fritters, the pakoras, and these kind of very simple potato balls dipped in chickpea flour. Because also, together with monsoons came lack of food in the house. The bazaars closed. So then you suddenly were left on this diet of whatever grains you had in the house and eggs. Because the person who sold the eggs, the andawala, would cycle through with the floods. And we started off with, you know, having one egg each. As the monsoon got worse and we got trapped into the houses, we were down to half an egg each. You felt like you were in some huge adventure.
So your family had a cook, a family cook. What was your mother's role in the kitchen? And then talk to us a bit about her catering business and how she started that.
She never went to college. No one in the family, no female in the family ever worked. She was the first entrepreneur in the family. She decided to catering. She began this catering business in a very small way, very kind of in an organic way. Incredible. It reminded me of how I started. I started in my house. She started in the house. And she slowly built up her business. Then, you know, she built a little outside kitchen and she expanded. And she became one of the best known caterers in Calcutta. And what was so unique about her, she would personally serve. And she never left till everyone had eaten. And I remember her coming back at 3 a.m, sitting on top of an empty biryani pot, which was full of bones that she'd got for all the street dogs. Coming in at 3 a.m, the chaos, because the dogs knew the bones were coming. They were chasing. All the neighbors put their lights on. And she used to just jump off in her silk sari, wearing her diamond vintage jewelry. And she'd just jump off this truck and just walk into the house. No one would gossip about her. No one talked about her. They just watched in awe.
For many people who have never cooked Indian food at home, your recipes might seem like a project, even if they're quite simple. What kind of advice can you give?
Please do not get intimidated, because a lot of television where you see people cooking Indian food is unnecessarily complicated. The good thing about Ammu is the first two chapters, one of them is my childhood dishes, and the second one is the chapters of the dishes I first cooked when I was learning how to cook. And I will actually tell you, look out for this. This is how you check. This is what you do, because this is what happened with me. I learned to cook this way. I didn't go to culinary school. I wasn't a sous chef. I didn't pick up cooking from watching MasterChef or anything else. I literally stood in a kitchen and watched how to cook. So I go through these steps, and I think if you look at a recipe and read it, then it's your recipe. You tweak it. You turn it to your taste buds, to what you have in your house. This recipe is no longer mine. It is yours.
I love that in the front of the book, you have all kinds of recipe suggestions, depending upon what our needs might be. And I have to say that my favorite category is cooking for your future in-laws.
Yes, because those are really foolproof. They look spectacular, but they're actually not that difficult to make. You don't need to tell them how easy it was. They're just going to think you're so smart.
So pick one and tell us about it.
Well, I mean, there are all the pulaos, the biryanis, all of them are actually very, very easy. And they would be, I would say, cook for your future in-laws, because they look, especially the prawn biryani, is brilliant, because it's just looks so spectacular. It is so easy. My kids make it. So it's these kinds of dishes which are really easy. Also, all the kebab dishes, which you marinate and you cook last minute, it looks spectacular. And then all the aroma and the drama. You need all of that. When you're trying to impress people, you need bangs for your bucks. So, you know, you've got to have some theater, some drama. But it should be something that was so easy for you. So that also, very important, which is why I also picked recipes in categories like this, that your kitchen doesn't look like a bomb site. You look great. You don't look like you're sweaty and you're panting. Everything's in control. And that's it. They're going to be so impressed by you.
For those of us who aren't so familiar with the way that you have championed immigrant women, can you talk about the restaurant model that you created and why?
My restaurant is, at the moment, I hope this will change. The level at which, you know, we are mid-level fine dining at that level. the only female-owned, all-female Indian restaurant in the world. There is no restaurant like this even in India. Incredibly, in every home you go to in South Asia, India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, Afghanistan, Sri Lanka, you will find the matriarch is in charge of cooking or of ordering the food and making sure everyone is fed. In every restaurant you go to, in the East or in the West, that is mid-level, you know, fine dining, expensive, they're all men who train to cook not in the kitchens of their mothers. They train to cook in culinary school. Everyone's CV is identical. They trained to be professional chefs. Patriarchy runs deep in our culture. You'd never find a boy in a kitchen. They'd always be shooed out. It was only the girls who were in the kitchen. In my culture, women eat last. Girls eat least. Our food is very feudal. We have this idea of hot chapati, hot rice, being served to the men. The problem with having been an agrarian society, this you will see in Ireland, in Colombia, in Mexico, the women serve the men. The men do not cook the food. So this is a problem, and I wanted to see if we could do it, if we could be that unusual restaurant where women cooked the food of their ancestors, uncomplicated food. We didn't put edible flour and nitrogen and huff and puff on it. We didn't try to make our food look French. We didn't try to make anything look different. We served the simple food of the women who are in their graves as our salam and our salute to the women who never were celebrated. This is a battle cry. This is not a restaurant. This is a political movement. We're trying to explain the narrative of women and their roles in being the custodian of recipes, of nourishing generations of people. I have three grandmothers now working. They've fed women. They have life experience. They don't have a certificate to show that they're chefs.
Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you very much.
That was Asma Khan, chef and proprietor of the Darjeeling Express restaurant in London. Her new cookbook is Amu, Indian Home Cooking to Nourish Your Soul. Want to impress your in-laws? We've got a recipe for her low-effort, high-reward prawn biryani on our site. Go to kcrw.com/goodfood.